In this week's episode of the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life podcast, I'm trying something a little bit different. And in part, that's because this has been on my to-do list for, I don't know, probably 16 weeks. But also in part because I am probably not otherwise able to give you an episode of the podcast this week. So speaking very honestly, this episode comes about for two reasons. It's been something I've been wanting to share with you for a number of weeks, which has required me to do some work, which I haven't been able to fit in. And because I also haven't had a chance in the last few weeks to interview any podcast guests, it's forced me to do the work that I couldn't otherwise fit in. So I'm sharing with you a portion of the audio from the 100th podcast episode party that we had here in Brisbane about 14 or 15 or even 16 weeks ago now, where I interviewed the amazing Michael Kirby here with us, and he gave a short keynote presentation, and then we were able to ask him a series of questions and just enjoy an afternoon. It was a really beautiful afternoon where a lot of the people that have been on the show were able to come together and share their experiences. So this will be a slightly different episode than perhaps normal, but the afternoon and the conversation I thought was so enjoyable, particularly Michael Kirby's speech, that I really wanted to capture that. And so we did. We used some pretty basic technology on the day, so you will hear a fair bit of background noise, some of which is the clock, the very large clock in King George Square, some of which is the people in the room, and some of which is just noise. But you will be able to hear the words of His Honour as he spoke that afternoon, and he touched on some beautiful topics of love, of happiness, of colour, and some very serious ones as well. And I think they're words that are worth listening to again, even if you were there. I'm going to thank my sponsors, of course, the College of Law, and particularly as I come towards the end of this year, I really do want to thank the College of Law because they have sponsored every single episode since this show began. And I'm very, very, very grateful for their continued support in bringing all of these episodes to you. I do say every week, go check them out online, collaw.edu.au. So without further ado, I am going to formally introduce this episode, but also give some background and give some context before we start listening to the show.
After finding life as a lawyer challenging and sometimes anything but happy, Clarissa Raywood has had to work hard to find her own happiness in law and in life. In this show, Clarissa interviews key people with compelling stories, opening a positive dialogue about happiness in the legal profession that will encourage you to make changes in your legal life before it's too late.
Hello, welcome to my mummy's show. This show is about being happy. happy.
This is the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life podcast.
So it is actually quite late. It's a Tuesday night. It's about 11 p.m. And before I give you the audio of the podcast party, I thought I might just give you a bit of behind the scenes of Clarissa's podcasting life, because I'd like to tell you that I'm not usually podcasting at 11 p.m. on a Tuesday evening when my episodes go live on a Wednesday morning, but I am actually usually podcasting at this late hour on a Tuesday evening, madly trying to get my episodes ready for Wednesday morning, because the reality of my life as a podcaster is I'm actually a lawyer. And when I'm not being a lawyer, I'm a mum. And trying to fit all of that together is actually really challenging. And something that I think Matthew Hickey may have said in the 100th episode is that he was amazed that I hadn't managed to sort of miss more episodes along the way. I think I've missed two in the time since I began doing this. And tonight was one of those moments where I've sat here for a little while thinking, do I just maybe not do an episode tomorrow and go to bed? Which is probably what a smart person would do. Or do I force myself to get out this audio that I've been sitting on for a number of weeks because I knew it required me to record a longer intro and outro than normal, which lately has been really hard to fit in. So in part, you're getting a little bit of a human story here. And I think it's a fitting time for me to share some of this human story. And it's probably a fitting episode to share it in because this year for me has been one of my toughest years as a lawyer. And I do find it ironic each week when I'm pushing out a podcast that's obviously about happiness and about wellness, when sometimes in my own life I'm struggling and asking sort of the questions again of, do I still want to be a lawyer? And anyone that listens to my show regularly or follows me would know that this year I've obviously had my daughter Daisy, and she's now about 8 months old. And like anything in life, when you add another child to your family, it adds another level of chaos. But I certainly came into 2018 with some really clear plans in my mind about how I was going to manage being a mum a second time round and running a business and doing all of the things that I love to do. And speaking honestly, the majority of those plans have not come to fruition in the way that I had hoped. And at times I can smile and roll my eyes about that, but there are times as well that, particularly this year, I've found that really difficult. And much of that's come to a head for me just in the last probably 2 or 3 weeks, which is also part of why I don't have things like podcast interviews ready to go. Because as a person, I find it very difficult to be inauthentic. And so when I'm not feeling happy, I find it very hard to be talking about being happy or try and share tips on how one would be happy. I tell you all of that as we lead into me sharing some audio of a party, because at the time that I had this podcast party, it was really me saying to myself, it's important to celebrate the things that you're proud of and the things that are going well, particularly when at the time I found myself questioning whether anything was really going well. And about 3 weeks, probably only 3 weeks before we were having this podcasting party, I was with my mum in Sydney, and I said to my mum, I don't think I should have that party. I feel really overwhelmed. There's a lot of things happening that are sort of outside of my control and not necessarily the way I would want them to be. And I'm very tired and I don't think having parties right now is the right thing to do. And Mum very wisely said to me, well, hang on, you've advertised this party on your podcast. I listen to it every week. People are coming. I think you should have the party. And she secondly said to me, you know, you should have the party because you should celebrate these things even when life feels a little bit upside down. So we did have a 100th episode podcast party at a time that I'm quite willing to admit now, I probably really didn't feel like having a party. And over the last few months, I've really had to ponder the shifts and changes that I need to make sure that I can keep doing the things that I love doing, but also be the person that I want to be. And do I have all the answers to that? Not just yet. But I'm still trying to work through them. And perhaps this conversation and this episode is that sort of beginning of the line in the sand as I try and make some of those shifts and changes. It's not easy being a lawyer. It's particularly not easy running a law firm and being a lawyer and having a family. And I do a lot of work with other lawyers, so I can say that I'm not alone in that feeling, because a lot of the work I do in coaching other lawyers really touches on this sort of stuff all the time. It's not an easy thing. And I guess my work as the happy lawyer, the irony is not lost on me in those words, but my work in writing the book, Happy Lawyer, Happy Life, came out of the first time that I found myself in this place of really questioning just what it was that I wanted to do and just what it was that I wanted to be. And I think it's interesting that the second time I felt like this is again when I've had a child. And I say often when I give presentations about my first sort of experience of questioning Lawland was when I'd had my daughter London and I hadn't slept much for 12 months. And I know I'm probably in a very similar space now, having had Daisy and not having a full night's sleep for well over a year now. It certainly plays on your wellness and your ability to think clearly. But putting all of that aside, I also think that as people, life goes in these sort of ebbs and flows, and there are certainly moments where all of us will pause and question again, is this still what I want to do? And I don't think that's a bad thing, but it is allowing yourself the space to explore that and really think about it. That's the most important thing. In this audio that you're going to hear, you're first going to hear the wonderful Michael Kirby, and the address that he gave at our podcast party. And some of his words are very, very fitting for me at the moment and a beautiful reminder of many things. And I think you'll really enjoy what he had to say. The second part of the audio is the presentation that I gave that day. And thank you again to my friend Matthew Hickey, who interviewed me so beautifully in my 100th episode. I went away and reflected on, I guess, some of the further learnings that I've gleaned from the chance to interview so many lawyers in this show. And I put together a second acronym. So again, I have my first acronym, HAPPY, H-A-P-P-Y, health, attitude, passion, purpose, and you, the five things that I've written about in my book that I think are key to managing and maintaining and coming back to a sense of purpose and happiness in life, a sense of contentment. In my presentation at the podcast party, I gave, I guess, a fleshing out of that acronym using the word lawyer and addressing a number of other points or characteristics or themes that have come out of this show that I think really do help better understand just what it is that enables us all to work through challenge and maintain a sense of contentment or happiness, whatever you might want to call it. So as I said before, the audio is a little bit scratchy at times, so bear with me. But I thought it was worth capturing and I think it is worth sharing. And this week particularly, I think it's particularly worth sharing at this very late stage of the evening, along with a bit of an insight into the back-end life of Clarissa. So I hope you enjoy.
Welcome everyone. Thank you so much for coming this afternoon and joining with us as we celebrate 100 episodes, 2 years, and a party for the sake of having a party. Because why wouldn't you have a party when you run a podcast? Doesn't that make so much sense? So I'm going to cut straight to it. Obviously, we've asked our most popular episode before my guest to come this afternoon, the Honourable Michael Kirby. He's going to grace us with some words. So let's go straight to the floor. It's all yours.
Thank you for having me here on this beautiful day. What a lovely day it is. Blue sky is definitely part of the formula for feeling happy about yourself. They've done great research about this, you know. I mean, I've worked so hard on thinking about this issue because you didn't just get me up to swan around with a few odd thoughts. I've done research. And they've found that if you paint a supermarket yellow, the sales go up. People feel happier with yellow. And when I was appointed to the High Court of Australia, you are assigned the chambers of the person who was the judge immediately before you. And in my case, that was Sir William Dean, Justice Dean. And you know, I often felt that the vibes of Sir William Dean were in the air in the High Court of Australia. And each of the chambers has different wood and is positioned differently in the building. Most of the chambers of the justices are on the right-hand side, and that means they are looking out at and facing the airport, which is where most of them long to be in order to get out of Canberra. But my chambers were, depending on what your point of view was, were on either in the back or the front of the building, on the side overlooking the fountain and the grand entrance and facing the administrative building and the other buildings of the Canberra bureaucracy, and looking at Old Parliament House and up the hill to New Parliament House, and in the distance the Brindabellas, and in autumn all the leaves would be beautiful and golden and coloured, and in the other seasons it would all be a very beautiful place. But the best thing about the chambers that I inherited was the wood. Each chambers has wood from a different state of Australia. And mine were, the wood was from Tasmania and it was a golden ash. So it was yellow. And therefore, every time I went in, I thought, aren't I lucky that I have a wonderful day, I've got to sit there and solve puzzles, which is what the High Court involves, and I'm in this environment which is golden and welcoming. Some of the other justices had really dark wood. They had wood, I won't say which state it comes from, which was extremely black and brown, dark brown. And I sometimes wondered, should I make the supreme sacrifice and get them to come over and swap chambers? But it didn't happen. I went around asking what was the feature of your program, because some of us, you know, I'm going to wear this on the plane, people. They'll probably think I'm a politician who is seeking to get elected for some suddenly empty seat. But
would you try? Please.
Some said to me, "Oh, well, mine was about exercise. Exercise is very important," and I do think that that is true. Every morning, I get the first train. It's the 4:55 train from Bondi Junction to the city. But I get out at King's Cross and I walk down and up, which is a perfect exercise. And if I don't do it, I really feel unsettled during the day. So I do think exercise, which is the body, this strange contraption that carries around our brain and our mind, it really tells me this is not a good day and I'm going to make it a bad day because you didn't give me my walk. Others said, I listen to music or I do this or that. But in my case, my generally optimistic view of life definitely goes back to nearly the time of birth. And it definitely is all the result of Vegemite. Now, they've done deep research about why especially Australian males, are all so addicted to Vegemite. Well, it's very simple. Back there in the dim past when I was born, and after birth, the nursing sisters gave the children, especially the naughty male children, gave them rusks with Vegemite on. And then your addiction begins. And you know, it's a strange thing, and I'm rather embarrassed to mention this, but I came up today and I was down the back of the plane, and I couldn't have been further down the back of the plane. So I thought, how will I cheer myself up from this humiliating experience?
Debbie's just ducking right now. That was her job.
And the answer was, I went into the Qantas lounge. I snuck in there, even though I didn't have an upper grade seat, and I immediately went to the food section and I took a roll, I slathered it with butter, and I had to ask them to bring out the breakfast Vegemite, and I slathered it with the Vegemite, and I feel great, you know. And I was offered the wonderful morsels that were outside, but there was no way I was going to interrupt the effect of the Vegemite on myself. So we're here to talk about happiness, wellness, and the answer to the inevitable companion of busy people, and especially busy lawyers, of stress and pressure. And when I first started to talk about this, it was, I can date it, it was at the time I was appointed to the High Court, so that was 1996. And I actually came up to Brisbane. They had invited me immediately, I was invited to come to an Australian Institute of Judicial Administration conference, and they said you can speak on anything. You could, if you wish to, you could talk about the complexities of the statute of limitations, or and I said no, I want to speak about stress, because I had just been to Canada, and in Canada I'd been at a judge's conference, and they were all talking about stress, the stress of a magistrate in a provincial district, the stress of a chief judge dealing with other judges of the court who didn't always cooperate, the stress of an older judge who wasn't now hearing things clearly, and what could be done about this, and so on. Anyway, they had a judicial commentator on my paper, and I could see they were very awkward, very awkward. This is judges from all over Australia. And the judicial commentator was Justice Thomas, who was a very good judge of the Supreme Court of Queensland. And later he became a judge of the Court of Appeal of Queensland. A really top lawyer, a very able judge. He wrote a book on judicial ethics. So he's very well respected and well regarded. But he didn't approve of my choice. He thought I should have chosen something which was more legal and not talking about, because up till that time nobody had talked about, that I know, I never saw it, never heard it, and I wouldn't have done it except that I'd just been to Canada. And anyway, he started his paper, I remember it, it's in the Australian Law Journal, it's for 1996 or 7, and he started his paper, "You people, comma, said my wife, comma, don't know what stress is. You have everybody standing up when you enter. You have everybody bowing deeply to you as you begin your day. They laugh at your foolish and unhumorous jokes. You have everybody polywopping after you. Why is Justice Kirby talking about stress when you don't know it?" And it was interesting that he chose his wife to express what plainly he was thinking. And I have to say, most of the male judges in the audience that day agreed with him. The only one or two who disagreed, one of them was Jane Matthews, who was, I think, the first woman judge appointed in New South Wales. She became a judge of the District Court of New South Wales, then a judge of the Supreme Court, then a judge of the Federal Court, then president of the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. She came back to the Court of Appeal of New South Wales. And so she was a very experienced judge. And she said, "Well, I have to admit, I find it very stressful to be sentencing somebody. I find that to get that right is very important." The chimes of justice. And so that really taught me. I then tried to answer it, and my reply is in the ALJ. It's actually worth revisiting to see how far we have come, how far we have come in talking about these issues and being honest about them and being honest about the inevitable feature of law especially, but other occupational groups, the inevitable feature of stress, the occasional feature of bullying, the features of sexual bullying against people, and things which once we would never have talked about, but which we do talk about now. And I must pay a tribute to Clarissa, to her 100 programs, to the way in which this makes it valid. It validates talking about these issues and putting them on the table and facing up to them and realising that everybody in different ways has to cope with stress and pressure, and we've got to find solutions and things that help us get through life. And during the course of this conversation, I hope that I will have an opportunity to pay a tribute to my partner, Johan, who has, you know, how people could really be so nasty that they wanted to disparage long-term relationships. Science shows they are very good for people. They're good for their physical health. They're good for their mental health, and they also happen to be good for society. Yet 40% of our fellow citizens were not in favour of marriage equality. So the world is changing, it's getting better, but the 100 programmes have definitely contributed to a better world. It's a world of golden colours and of good feelings, and we are here today to celebrate it and celebrate its achievements.
I might share with you first my new acronym, because it comes off the back of what His Honour has just said about relationships. So Matthew, this bit's for you. I've really thought about this, so you're going to have to work with me. It needs some work, so I'm all for the feedback. As you all know, if you've read my book, I have an acronym, HAPPY, which is just nice and simple, because I like to keep life simple. So I say health, exercise, walking, first thing, H for health. A for attitude, the optimistic attitude, the outlook that you have on life will make a big difference to your capacity to manage the stress and to be a happy lawyer. P, passion. P, purpose. So to have passion in your life. And it's okay if the passion isn't reading High Court judgments, heaven forbid. Shock, horror, I know. But have purpose in your life, whatever that purpose is. You know, be connected to something, whether, again, that's in law or outside of law, be connected to something and go do amazing things. And, of course, why is about being yourself, playing to your strengths, be content with whoever you are and be that person. So happy we did, yeah? We all know that stuff. So this is the extension. This is like advanced happy lawyering for happy lawyers. I've gone with the word lawyer because that made sense, didn't it? Happy lawyer. So I decided, these are my reflections, listening to all of you on my show. These are the other things, Matthew, that I think have come up. L for me, I'm using the word, hello, Mel. I'm using the word learner. The people that have been on my show that I have learned from are continual learners. They never see themselves as being, I've reached, you know, the height of my career, and you're the perfect example of this. I've been on the High Court, I can stop learning. I've got it all now. The other end of that, they are constantly investing in learning, and learning outside of law, thinking more broadly, reading novels like there's no tomorrow, like just taking on information and consuming information and just being curious is a theme that has just come up for me in so many of these episodes. A, this is the best I could do, artist. And I'm using the word artist, but in the sense of creativity. It has come up all the time in all of our episodes. There is just creativity rife among so many people in this room. And I've really started to form a view that everyone is creative. It's just where you use that creative element in your life and how you apply it. And so those of you, again, that are connected to me, I'm a deep lover of all things creative, as you know. And so my friends draw things and make things and everything's amazing. The food's beautiful. But if you're not someone that is visually creative, all of my guests I have seen have some level of creativity that they are exploring. And I think there has to be a connection between the creative parts of our brain, the problem-solving elements of our job, and a sense of wellness. W for me is worker. So what I mean by this, the happy lawyers that I've been hanging out with, they are hard workers. And I think it's interesting, this sense that sometimes colourful and light and creative and all of these words are non-serious things. And yet those of you that I've met on my show that are all of those things are deeply thoughtful, hard workers. And I think happy lawyers, from what I'm seeing as well, they work hard. They really do work hard, and I think we should acknowledge that. That's a great thing as well. This is where I need some help. The letter Y, I was struggling with this one, so I've gone with this. Yoga-like flexibility.
It's the best I could do. What do I mean by that? What I've observed is the challenges that many of my guests have been thrown in life are big. Many people in this room have handled, wherever Zinter is, some pretty significant curveballs in their lives. But they seem to overcome those curveballs using what I'm calling yoga-like flexibility. Because I can't come up with a better word. Someone come up with it for me. In the sense that, you know, life throws you these curveballs, as my dear friend Zinter often says to us, but it's how you overcome those curveballs and the attitude you apply to that and accepting that, you know, nothing ever is perfect and just pushing through it. And for me, it's that flexibility to be able to go, okay, today my life is not what I thought it was going to be and I'm going to find my way around that rather than let that take me right down lower than I need to be. E is ego. So here's the thing. I've really reflected and thought as well, everyone on my show actually doesn't have ego in that scary lawyer suits type way. Everyone is very chilled out. But we all have enough ego, enough self-confidence to believe in ourselves, to back ourselves, and not to need to compete, which I think is, again, one of the real challenges in our industry at times, is that sort of dog-eat-dog competitiveness that can exist. All of the people that I've interviewed, I am yet to find someone that has that real killer ego. Maybe I just haven't found them yet. But that, for me, there must be some connection again between a sense of self-belief, but not ego, in being a content and a happy person. And of course, R for me is relationships. Everyone I've interviewed, you've just said it in terms of your partner, Michael. Relationships are core and key in terms of this sense of happiness. We can have all of the great stuff in the world, but if you don't have people around you that love you for who you are, I think you will always struggle to find a sense of contentment and find a sense of happiness. And I think that message has come out loud and clear in every single one of our episodes, is just my guests openly talk about the different relationships that they have in their life, whether it's their children, their friends, their colleagues. I look at the friendships that now exist in this room. I love that people can arrive. Where's lovely Melissa hiding? And she sees Zinter, and they've never met in real life, but thanks to the podcast and the world of social media, they walk up and it's like they know each other because they've had the opportunity to hear about each other and learn about each other and experience little snippets of each other's lives. And I think that's now consistent for everyone in this room, which is just such a beautiful thing. This industry that we're in is a hard one. It takes hard work. And I think that's the rewarding part of it as well. But for me, it is the people in it, the people that I've met, so many of you in this room, that make it so much fun for me day in, day out, in terms of the work that we get to do. So that's my new acronym. So that was the majority of the presentation at our 100th episode podcast party. There were a further series of questions. I won't share those with you in this episode. I think they're a little bit scratchy. It's a bit hard to hear. But I think those two pieces are really the key parts from that event and the key pieces of audio and the key presentations that summed it up for me. It was a beautiful afternoon. I'm glad my mum told me to go ahead. I'm really glad that she told me to go ahead. It was really such a beautiful experience to have His Honor here, to bring together so many of the podcast guests that I've had, to bring together so many friends that I've met along the way and celebrate success. Something I am a big advocate for is no matter what's going on in your life, celebrate success. As this episode goes to air, a good friend of mine is in Sydney today at the funeral of her twin sister. She's a lawyer like all of us. And the last few weeks, I've really struggled, I think, with some of the bad news that's been coming into my life, not directly affecting me, but just with people around me. And I am getting emotional saying this, but Alicia, my thoughts are with you today. I can't imagine what it's like to be in the situation that you found yourself in. And I think it's moments like this that remind me that I am so very grateful for all of the things that come from this show, that come into each of our lives, and that we'll all at some point reflect back on. Because life is short, and it's important, I think, that we all do our best to celebrate every moment of it. Wherever you are, thank you for listening to this perhaps slightly unusual episode of the Happy Lawyer, Happy Life show, which has had in itself moments of happiness and sadness, but I think is a true reflection of just where life is at the moment. And for all of us, there are ups and downs and challenging moments, but I like to think that some of the tools that I've certainly been working with and learning about and researching these past few years are tools that can help when things are a bit challenging and pull you out. Have a wonderful week. I don't have a happiness challenge for you this week, so nothing to work on. Maybe just that's the thing. Do nothing this week. Just be and enjoy the people around you. There's still a challenge in that, isn't there? Have a wonderful week, and I look forward to seeing you on the airwaves next week.
Happy.